Peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good to see many guests here today, no doubt about it. Good to see that many are still traveling and still enjoying the summer because we have, I think it's awesome because when we have a lot of people leave, God seems to fill up the pews with other people that come. So it's all very important. And I'm kind of thrilled when people are traveling. You know, it's like when I go to visit someone and I go to their house and they're not home. A lot of people will apologize. Well, we didn't know you were coming. We're sorry we weren't home. No, I'm thrilled when you're not home. Sounds terrible, eh? But I'm thrilled when you're not home because as long as everything is healthy, you're living your life. You're doing things. You're busy. You're not sitting around being stagnant. So I'm thrilled when I go to an elder's home and they're not in the hospital and I knock on the door and they're not home. That's awesome. That means they're out productive, doing things and being productive. With that being said, we also did have the, as Mark mentioned, the funeral service here for Wesley Lampinen. The flowers on the altar are left from the funeral, so we continue to pray for the family. And a lot of them are here today, so if you have the opportunity, you can extend condolences to them after. But anyways, to get back to the reality of what we're here to hear the Word of God, and Lord willing, He'll allow His Spirit to speak, and we will be encouraged, each and every one of us alike. Our sermon text for this, I believe, 16th Sunday after Pentecost, will be taken from the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, we're going to read chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. We're going to read this in Jesus' name, God's calling. And we're going to read verses 1 through 16. And we are going to ask if you are willing and also able. If you can't stand long, please feel free to sit. If you're willing and able, please rise for the reading of the Gospel text. Greeting in Jesus' name. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which went out early in the morning to hire his laborers into the vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And when he went out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and he did likewise. And about the 11th hour of the day, he went out, and he found others standing idle. And he said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said, Because no man has hired us. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when the eve was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they were come that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. And he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that is thine. And go thy way, and I will give unto the last, even unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many be called, but few are chosen. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. According to our flesh and our own understanding, we would be so lost. So, Father, even as a servant, I ask that we would not hear from the flesh, that we would not hear from man, but rather by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us truth, that you would sanctify us in your word. Because we know, Father, your word is truth. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we want to speak about blessing. Blessings in our life. You know, when we opened up even with the, before the sermon, we have a song that talks about grace, grace, God's grace, you know? And there's a time and place in life where I've heard people say that, well, there's too much grace. Too much grace. There's enough grace. God has poured His grace upon all flesh, it says in the Scripture. Too many times we have this feeling or this understanding that we feel like we shouldn't abuse the grace. We can't abuse the grace. And we can't just give it out to anybody because we could be wasting it. Grace, in its definition, is unmerited favor. Unmerited. That means I did nothing for. I did not earn. You come to my home and you sit down to visit with me and I give you a great gift. And let's say because we're monetary people, I give you $1,000 because, you know, I just feel God is leading me to give you. Don't come, please, because I can't afford it at the moment. But I give you this gift. What good is it if you turn around and say, well, I really appreciate this gift and I don't have much in life, but I have this car that's worth $3,000. I'll give it to you. It defeats the purpose of the gift. In fact, now it puts me indebted to you because maybe you gave me something that's a little more valuable. And how many times in life do we turn around and we say, well, we enjoy the blessings of God. We enjoy the gifts of God. But then we turn around and say, what can I do to make up for it? We may not say it verbally, but I think at times in our flesh we think it, that I must appease God so He'll continue. And then sometimes we have a tendency to look back on our life on the backwards aspect of it and say, well, I am blessed, but I've done a lot of right things. I eat the right foods. I make the right statements. I take in the right information. I attend the right church. I believe the right things. I say enough prayers. Now, you might think that I'm crazy when I talk this way, but I think left to our own devices, we will all have kind of these tendencies. Even as a minister of the gospel, there's times where I encounter individuals and they say, well, why did so-and-so have to go through this? They were such a good person. Or they gave so much to the church. I've had individuals tell me, well, I am a good person and I give money to the church every single month. Well, wonderful. Don't stop. We're thankful for that. I hope we're not doing it for ourselves. I hope we're doing it because we want to give to the community. We want to give to the outside. We want to be able to encourage others to hear this message, that they would feel free to come here, that we would have a facility to allow them to come here. You know, in other words, we're not giving for merit. It even says with our labor that we should labor and we should do all things as unto the Lord. But we have a tendency at times as human beings to start gauging, well, what am I getting out of it? Jesus turns around and He makes this great statement. He says, I'm going to give you a descriptive story. We call them parables. But they're descriptive stories to get us to understand what He's talking. So He turns around and He says, the kingdom of heaven is kind of like this. There's a man that owns a great home, a vineyard, has all this stuff. He's a wealthy man. And so the kingdom of heaven is kind of like this individual who has a lot to offer. And so then he turns around and he went out early in the morning and he knew that it was time that he needed some laborers. So what does he do? He goes out into the commonplace and in reality he offers positions for people. He offers opportunities to serve. He speaks this very strongly because he just had gotten done speaking in reality to the individual that asked, how may I gain eternal life? How may I gain eternal life? And so with that question in the background, now we come across this side of saying, the kingdom of heaven's kind of like this. There's this individual that has a lot of great wealth, has a lot of ability. But there's work to be done. And he turns around and he says very plainly, he goes out into the open places and he hires laborers to come into his vineyard. And when they had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day. Now understand this. This individual went out himself. And he hired. And so then he sends him into his vineyard, but then he goes out about, actually probably 3 hours later, about 9 a.m., it says the third hour, and he saw others standing there. So he goes back to this marketplace and he sees others standing there. First and foremost, this was common. That they would go out and they would seek for employment for the day and they'd go to this area. So these people listening to Jesus would understand, yes, okay, we understand that there is a need and there is also a need on both sides. There is a need from the people that need the work and there's a need for the one that needs the work to be done. And so he goes to this common place and he hires these individuals, but then he goes there at the third hour, 3 hours later, and he sees others standing there. And he said to them, he says, go also into the vineyard, whatsoever is right, whatever is right. Isn't that kind of the clinker? Really niches it here because we instantly jump into our human understanding of what is right. He doesn't say what is right for you. He says, whatever is right, what is true. He says, go. He says, whatever is right, I will give it to you. And they went their way. So then we're given a little more fast forward motion here. And again, he went out about the sixth hour, about 12 o'clock. Half the day gone, as we would say. And also the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock. So he goes out at these different intervals. Seeking, in reality, to find those that have a need. And he finds them. And he puts them in reality in his employ. But then something totally unheard of comes out. Grace. 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 About the 11th hour, he goes out. And he found others standing idle. Still there. Probably have lost all hope that anything could be attained for that day. Understanding that even a penny a day was the average pay of the time. Who in the world in their right mind would ever believe? You can almost picture an individual hanging, disheartened, head hanging low, that they may not be able to eat today. That they wouldn't have an opportunity to provide for their family. I am not the one that in reality gives this earthly example. It is a parable that Jesus Christ Himself gives. And He gives us the example of the mercy and the grace of God. Where He turns around and He says, there's this one individual. He owns this great amount of bounty. And He turns around and He says, we need to get some laborers. Let's go down and get some laborers. And He goes early in the morning at the due time. And He turns and He hires these individuals. He says, I'm going to give you a penny a day. And they all agree, probably thrilled to be able to make enough money for the day, to receive enough bounty, to have sufficiency for the day. And then he goes out, and we know he goes out in the third hour, and then the sixth hour, the ninth hour, then finally to the point of the 11th hour, where it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, nobody in their right mind figures they're going to get a job. And he says to them, he says, why are you standing here idle? Why? They said to him, because no man has hired us. Have you ever felt that way? That nobody has anything to offer you? You turn around in this world, you look around in this world and its difficulties and its struggles. You're trying to make ends meet in life. You're trying to make ends meet in your spiritual life. You're trying to make things line up so you can understand things clearly. And it just feels like everything is letting you down. We've been here. And nobody. Nobody has hired us. You can imagine they're thinking, well, nobody's going to hire us either. We're pretty much done. It's 5 o'clock. But some of the most graceful words that could be penned within Scripture are spoken. Where he turns around and the Master says, go also into the vineyard. And whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. What is right? What's the definition of right? Often in our lives, we turn around and we know definitions. We know where things are right and where things are wrong in our own understanding. But then God comes in. There's a part of Scripture that says, "But God." And I remember very often we hear the statement that there's no buts in life. And I remember one of my mentors always saying, "Yeah, there's no buts in life except but God." When God steps in, you can't predict Him. He is God. We are not. You'll be given what is right. You're going to receive it. That is a promise. So when the evening was come, so basically an hour later, the Lord of the vineyard calls his steward and he says, "You know what? It's time to pay the laborers. It's time to turn around and pay them. Give them what their hire is." These individuals that sat in agony, these individuals that waited the longest, these individuals that had no opportunity, now they are actually being told, he says to the steward, "You call them first. Call them first." And when they came, those that were hired in the 11th hour, what did they receive? A penny. A full day's wage. Sometimes in life we can turn around and we can look at this very much in the Christian aspect for the believer. That God has a great commission for each and every one of us. That He's given to us His Word. And He's asked in reality that we would go out into this world, that we would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. We are excited over this, aren't we? At times we are. That we have received such a beautiful bounty, that we have received such great reward, and then we are now commissioned to go do the work. So now we enter into this world, and then we're watching also, not only are we doing the Master's bidding, but we're also what? Watching all the others. Unfortunately, we have that tendency to watch everybody else. Do you remember when Jesus is resurrected, He's hanging out with His apostles? And He turns around and He's talking to Peter because Peter, what, denied Him three times. And He tells Peter, He says, "Do you love Me?" And He goes through that whole thing of three times. And Peter's like so frustrated. "Lord, You know everything. You know that I love You. And feed my sheep." Peter, do your job. Do your job, Peter. But you know John, the one whom Jesus loved. They had that close relationship. Peter turns around and he says, "What about him? He lost already the integrity of the message." He goes three times, bringing restoration, as we say, to Peter. Telling him that he has a commission, that he has work to do. "Feed my sheep." And Peter's looking around and he's like, this is good. But what about him? What is that to you? Why are you worried about him? I gave you a job. What if John tarries in reality until I come back? What is that to you? Because we worry so much about other people and their business sometimes that we miss what we have been called to. Now when we turn around and we look at these laborers, you understand that they're out there in the field. And can you imagine the first ones that are out there? "Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Because I didn't have opportunity. I didn't have an opportunity to serve. I didn't have an opportunity to be able to provide. I didn't have this opportunity. Now I do." 3 hours later, a new group comes into the fields and they start working. "Huh, look at those guys. Gee, they just got here. Where were they?" "Well, he must have found some more people." "Okay, well, fair enough. Good enough. Plugging along. And we find another 3 hours later, half the day is gone. New bunch of people show up in the fields. "Oh, what in the world? Where'd these guys come from?" Well, reason starts kicking in, doesn't it? Well, if they come in at noon, they're probably going to get about half of what we get. So they keep plugging along. And all of a sudden at 3 o'clock, another group comes out. "Well, what in the world? Where'd these guys come from?" This isn't fair. I mean, we're out here working from the very beginning. Do you see how you move from a transition of being thankful to actually being envious? Finally, totally breaking the rhythm of 3 hours, these last guys come in with only about an hour left to work. This is too much. Remember how we opened the sermon? We talked about grace, grace. Remember how we talked about the fact that people sometimes think there's too much grace? That's when they move to that next transition. When these individuals come in the last hour, they can't handle it. They can't handle it. We have been out here for 11 hours sweating and toiling and working under the heat of the sun. Who do they think they are? Well, I know this. We're getting our share. We got to figure it out. We're getting our share. But then, the householder throws them a real curveball. Because we have a tendency to think, well, the first ones there are going to be the first ones out, right? But we're dealing with the kingdom of God. And he turns around, the householder says, you know what, steward, get these people in. We're going to pay them, but this is what I want you to do. I don't want you to pay the first ones first. I want you to pay the ones that came out last. So then he turns around and the steward gets the guys gathered up and the guys that were there basically for an hour comes to be payday. They got their money bag and they're sitting there. The last guys, honestly, are probably thankful to get anything. Anything. Just like 12 hours before, the first guys were pretty excited to get their pay. They were thrilled for the opportunity. So he turns around and he takes out his money bag and he starts handing it out and the first guy comes up and he hands him a full day's pay, 1 penny. I can imagine the guys that were there for an hour were like, praise God. I have received the blessing. I've received more than I ever expected. I can't even imagine. Can you imagine the thankfulness? We may not take this seriously enough. We're spoiled in our nation. We actually, the poorest of us is rich compared to so many others. But we lose sight of what this would mean for them to eat, to have sustenance. Can you imagine the grace that they received when they received that penny, that full day's wage? And you can imagine the thankfulness that came into their hearts as they leave. But then, the guys that were hired first started looking over the shoulders. Remember, they probably thought, well, there's going to be prorated. They're probably going to get less than us. Okay, we can live along. I mean, I can just imagine the way human beings think. But then, they jumped to a new conclusion. Okay, if they got a full penny, a full day's wage, we're going to get more. So they supposed that they would get more. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour received a penny, but when the first came, they supposed that they would receive even more. But then they received a penny. What they were thankful for in the beginning, they were no longer thankful for. What they were thankful for in the beginning, now they look at actually with distaste. They felt they were robbed. When we look at the kingdom of God and we look at people and their service to God, when we look at people in the aspect of faith, do we become jealous for those that have received the fullness of God's grace even in the last hour? I've seen it. I've seen it in all honesty where there has been, as we say, those deathbed repentances. I've seen it where people have turned and literally whispered in their death, that it is mine. They have received the fullness of the grace of God has been poured upon them in their very last breath. But in our humanness, in our hardness, if we allow the flesh to take over, we can find that we'd say, is that fair? Is that fair that they actually have this grace given to them so freely in their last breath? They've lived their life any way they wanted. They've done all these things, and now you're going to walk them through these doors as a saint of God when you do their funeral. Is that fair? Yes. It's extremely fair. Because it is the grace of God and the work of God that has been poured across in that believer's heart. It is the grace of God and the work of God that has been blessed to them just as it was to us. But we also, on the other hand, I think very much in our fleshly nature, forget the other side of things. It is a blessing to be a child of God. It is a blessing in this carnal sense to have the assurance of work, of provision. Now I want you to stop for a moment because Jesus gives us this earthly example and I want you to think about it in an earthly way. Those guys that went out there early in the morning, they knew within minutes that they'd be provided for. They knew within minutes that they would have food for their family. This is an earthly example, but Jesus gives it, not me. But the ones that came 3 hours later, for 3 hours they agonized, most likely. Are we going to get anything today? They lived in the travail of their struggles. And the ones 6 hours later, even longer. The ones 9 hours later, even longer. Even for the one for the 11th hour, as we say, those deathbed repentance. They wondered. They lived in pain, in need. Do you forget, do I forget the blessing of being here today and being a Christian, being a believer? No matter what this world throws at us, that we have a greater hope beyond this earth, that we have the assurance of Jesus Christ in His blood that washes us from all our sin. That we are living as redemptive people, redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. Do we live in that victory? Do we celebrate that victory? Or are we too busy looking at what the other guy's got? Have we lost the mystery and the wonder of being a child of God? And when we've tasted such fresh waters, when we've received such fresh things of Jesus Christ, do we not desire them for another? Whether it be for 100 years, 50 years, 20 years, or 10 minutes, do we not desire it for them? Where is our heart? Are we as the one who is jealous? Or we are the one who is rejoicing? Apostle Paul brings us to a great example. And he says very plainly, my earnest heart's desire for the children of Israel is that they would be saved. He didn't care about the persecution. He didn't care about being whipped 39 times. He didn't care about being stoned to death and dragged outside of Ephesus, left there to rot. He didn't talk about any of that stuff. What he spoke about is that he desired that they would know the truth. And he didn't care how soon. In other words, he didn't gauge where they were to receive it. He desired that they know it. He turns around and he gives this great example and it says, when the first came, they expected that they'd get much more, but they received that penny. And when they had received it, what did they do? They grumbled. They grumbled against the gift that they received. They grumbled against the provision that was offered. If we can't be thankful for the small things, how will we ever receive big things? Eh? Ooh, I've learned that in my life. I forget sometimes and need to be reminded. Saying, these last have only worked an hour. In fact, they haven't even gone through the turmoil that we have been through. Because we were in the heat of the sun, we were doing all this. Yeah, they were just living in the anguish of themselves. They were living in the discontentment of not knowing what would happen. They lived in the discontentment of not having the comfort of provision. Being provided for. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are provided for. We are given, no matter what may be taken away in this earthly sense, we are provided for in and through Him. We have that comfort. We have that consolation. So then he says, you know what? He answered them. He said, friend. He still calls them friend. The love is there. He says, I did you nothing wrong. Did you not agree? Did we not come to these terms? He says, for a penny. He says, take what's yours. He says, and go your way. He says, and I will do the same to the last. He says, even as unto thee. Isn't it right or legal for me to do what I want with my own? People say that we abuse grace. It's God's grace. It's His infinite grace. And He can do what He desires to do with it. And do you know what Scripture says? He desires to pour it upon all flesh, that we may know. God's a big boy. He can handle what He's doing. May we stop engaging the world in a suspicious way, but may we rather enter into this world as forgiven people seeking to forgive. Loving people seeking to love. People that have received, willing to give. He says, are you actually angry at me for my kindness? May we never be found in that state. May we praise God for every person that would walk through the threshold of life in Jesus Christ. May we encourage them. May we strengthen them. May we never belittle the faith, but rather continue to proclaim His goodness. He says, in reality, so the first in reality would be last, and for many will be called, and the last will be first. He says, many are called, but not many receive. Where are we today? Are we founded in the goodness of God? Are we founded in His grace? And do we share that love for others? Are we merciful because we were shown mercy? Or are we still keeping track of what that guy's doing? May we repent if we are found in those shoes. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for this opportunity to proclaim Your Word. Father, we thank You for Your gracefulness. We thank You for Your truth. And Father, if in reality we are the first ones at the party, we'll most likely be the last ones too. We'll be there the longest. But Heavenly Father, may we always enjoy the party, for it is Your bounty that has provided for it. We ask that You be with each and every one of us as we leave here today. Once again, we ask special traveling mercies for all those traveling. And we do think of even the Lampinen family as they're traveling throughout this week. We pray that You would be with each and every one of them. Protect them, guide them, and preserve them. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. Lord, make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord, lift His countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace.